And then go ahead, if you would, and put a marker over in Proverbs chapter 6. We'll be turning right over there as well. Proverbs 3, and reading in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. But in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord. Depart from evil, for it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awake, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Let's pray. Father, now our worship continues as we look into Your Word. As always, Lord, we pray now for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of our heart, Lord, to open our understanding, that we would hear Your voice, that we would take the truths that we'd learn this morning, Lord, we'd receive the challenges that You set before us, and that we would not leave here today merely being knowers of Your Word, but being determined to become doers of Your Word. So cause my words this morning to be Yours. We ask these things together and in Jesus' name, for His sake and glory. And everyone agreeing said a very anemic amen. Now, when we began the parenting aspect of our study here several weeks ago, you remember that we began by contrasting two terms that are oftentimes used interchangeably. The first term was teaching, and the second term was training. Now, we observed that the essence of teaching was to cause a child to grow. And by contrast, the essence of training was to cause a child to do. We pointed out that teaching imparts knowledge, while training shapes the will. And we concluded that teaching and training then must go together, hand in hand, for the wise and effective upbringing of every child. We pointed out how teaching and training are not each other's duplicate, but they are, in fact, each other's complement. They are to one another what a key is to a lock, or what film is to a camera, useless and worthless apart from the other, but together, something complete. Now, we also pointed out that training up a child in the way that he or she should go involved a balanced measure of several key ingredients. We talked about love that is tempered by discipline. We also talked about teaching and instruction that is followed by our own example. And so that's where we pick up our study this morning, taking a closer look at this final ingredient, the counterweight to our instruction, that of our own example. Now, the Apostle Paul said, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, he said, "Be ye followers of me, as I also am of Christ." In other words, as we look at it in the context in which we're discussing this morning, as parents, God wants our lives to be the kind of an example that is consistent of what we profess to believe as a Christian and who we profess to be as a Christian. Now, having said that, I don't want you to misunderstand. This by no means is suggesting to us that a parent must never make a mistake. That neither does it mean to suggest that if he or she does make a mistake, that they will somehow be seen as being hypocritical by their children. The truth of the matter is that hypocrisy comes about as a result of a parent trying to live by a double standard. You know, the old do as I say, not as I do routine. Or living one life in the public arena, especially at church, and another life that's altogether different when you're at home and behind closed doors. The point is that parents need to live a life of openness and a life of truthfulness and a life of integrity before their children. And having said that, parents, that means that you and I need to admit our mistakes. And we need to be quick to confess our own failures. And when it becomes necessary, we need to apologize to our children and seek their forgiveness when we have wronged them. Realizing that the worst thing that we could possibly do would be to ignore their wrong or to try and justify our own sin. Now, parents, without the example of a life that walks out the things that are being taught in your home, your children are going to miss the greatest single influence that they need in order to encourage them to live a life of obedience and to walk in obedience to the things of God and His Word. And the right kind of an example can create a hunger and a thirst for righteousness in their lives. Now, having said that, let me also say that a bad example, on the other hand, will foster bitterness and it will foster resentment and many times even rebellion in their lives. And consider, if you will, Jesus. Jesus, of course, provided the ultimate example of a life that was lived that was pleasing to God at all times. He glorified God not merely in the things that He said, but even more importantly, He glorified God the Father in the life that He lived. It's interesting, but it's true that Jesus always lived by example. He didn't just tell His disciples they needed to pray. He Himself lived a life of constant prayer. And He didn't just preach that men needed to live by faith and in obedience to the Word of God, but He lived a life that clearly manifested faithful obedience and an absolute submission to the will of His Father and to His Father's authority. The point simply is this, that the life of Jesus was an example of how He desired that His own disciples would live. And we know that it not only earned their respect, but it made them willing to accept His authority and His leadership. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:21 that He has given to us as an example that we should follow in His steps. Indeed, again, in 1 John 2 and verse 6, we're admonished, He that saith he abideth in Him ought also to walk even as He walked. In other words, to walk as Jesus walked, to live as Jesus lived, to love as Jesus loved, to serve as Jesus served. Again, as we noted a few moments ago from 1 Corinthians 11 there, the Apostle Paul challenged us. And he stated, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, there's something that I have said to you many, many times before, but one that I'm reminded of again. And it's this, that our goal as parents should be to have enough confidence in our own walk and relationship with the Lord that we could echo the words of the Apostle Paul in saying to our own children, Philippians 4, verse 9, the things which you have learned, received, heard, and seen in me, practice these things, or do. Not merely know, but do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That we could say to our children, do as I do, say as I say, think as I think, live as I live, love as I love, and the God of peace will be with you. Obviously, parents, your children are following your example. They're going to follow in your steps. The question is, where will those steps lead them? Will those steps lead them into sin? Or will those steps lead them into the presence of the Lord? If you desire to see your children have Jesus as the Lord of their lives, then it must first be clear to him or to them that he is the Lord of your own life. By that I mean from the choices that you make, from the priorities that you establish for your life. They need to see in that life that you consider your relationship with Jesus Christ as the single most important pursuit in your life. The point is, parents, if you really love the Lord, you're not going to have to convince your children that you love the Lord. They're going to already know that you love the Lord. And so the bottom line is that we must be an example to our children. Now, speaking of that example in regard to authority, I have found that if I don't drive the speed limit, for example, or if I don't observe the various traffic signs, like no left turn or no U-turn or no right turn on red or no parking or whatever it might be, if I do not pay attention to those things, then, you see, I am not setting an example for my children that demonstrates that I have any respect at all for authority. If I am going to expect them to submit themselves to authority, then I myself have to be a man under authority. And then where example is concerned in regard to attitudes, for me, I always try, I'm not successful, but I always try to have a good attitude and be an example to my children in having that good attitude. And so if we happen to go to the department store or maybe to the market or even out to the hardware store, I am always conscious of being courteous to the clerk. And I'm careful to be appreciative for their help. I'm always careful to say please and thank you to other people. If we happen to go out to a restaurant, I try to be as helpful and as polite as I can be. And if the waiter or the waitresses is doing an especially good job, then I'm always sure to tell them that. And the reason for this is simple. It's a good example for my children. And you know, I've also discovered that it greatly blesses and encourages those who are on the receiving end. I've discovered that a simple little thing like being kind or like being courteous or being thankful not only can serve as a great example to my children, but oftentimes it serves as a witness to other people. I remember now several years ago, Noel and I were away on a ministry trip and we were at the airport early, getting ready to catch our flight home, and we had a few minutes, so we went over to one of the little restaurants in the airport, and we just sat down, and we began to have a little fellowship, and we weren't out of the ordinary kind. We just, you know, were pleasant to the young lady that was serving us. And, you know, after a few minutes, she just came up, she said, "I need to ask you something." She said, are you Christians?" she asked. And, you know, we didn't have our Bibles out on the table, and we weren't necessarily overtly talking about, "You need Jesus!" But we were just being kind, and we were conversing with one another, and you see, right away, she knew. They'll know that we are Christians by our love one for another. People out there need encouragement. Because, you see, I've observed that for the most part, what they get when they hear anything from people is complaints or criticism. And for that reason, I've discovered it's refreshing. And it's, most importantly, a good example to our children when we'll speak a kind word or display a thankful attitude when we're just out and about and along the way. Because, you see, parents, your children are watching you. And they are ever learning from your example. And so with that thought in mind, let me ask you this morning. Have you ever heard your child say something or maybe you've observed them display a certain attitude and right away you've said to yourself, sort of horrified, "Oh, I wonder where they learned that." Well, the truth of the matter is that the chances are pretty good that they picked it up from you. If you find yourself oftentimes being harsh or critical or verbally unappreciative of others, why would you expect your children to be anything different than that? If you find yourself snapping at your children, if they happen to come in and interrupt you while you're in the middle of something, then you shouldn't act surprised when your children begin snapping at others when they're inconvenienced. You see, like it or not, many times our children are just a mirrored image and mirrored reflection of who we are. They're following our example. They are walking in our ways. And so we need to be examples to our children, good examples to our children. Another way that we can be a good example to our children is by being a man or a woman of personal integrity. In other words, keep your word with them and keep your word with other people. In fact, Jesus addressed this in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where He said, "Let your communication be yea, yea, and nay, nay." We find a parallel passage, but the same thought in James chapter 5, where there in verse 12, James declares, he says, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven nor by earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay." If we were to paraphrase this, it would, "Let your yes be yes, and let your no be no." Say what you mean, and mean what you say. You see, it's as simple as this. If you say that you're going to do something, then by all means, do it. And if you've made a promise to your child, or to someone else for that matter, if you've made a promise to do something, then by all means, keep that promise. Your children then are going to learn that they can rely upon what you say. But if you're always saying one thing and doing another, or you're going back on your word, then you know what? Your children after a while are going to say, "Yeah, well, I hear what Dad's saying, but he doesn't really mean what he's saying. When he says this, he really means something else." You need to teach and to train your children by your example, that your yes is yes, that your no is no, that you say what you mean, and you mean what you say. And that's, for that reason, parents, the promises that you make must never be taken lightly. Now, what about those times when you have made a promise that really, for circumstances beyond your control, you can't keep? What do you do then? Well, you simply go to your children and you tell them the truth. And if you discover that you misspoke in the first place, and I've done that on occasion, where I've agreed to something or I've made a promise to something and I've not fully researched it or I've not had all the facts, and then in getting the facts, I've had to come back to him and say, "You know what, we're not going to be able to do that, or we're not going to be able to go here." "Why not, Dad? You promised." "Well, because, you see, I misspoke. I didn't know all the facts when I said what I said. I know better than that. I shouldn't have done that. Would you please forgive me? I promise you that I'll do my best not to make that sort of a mistake again, so that my yes can be yes and my no can be no." And so, when something like that comes up, we want to address the issue. Don't ignore it. And I've also found, listen, don't try to save face, or don't try to justify yourself. I have found in my own life with my own children that when I approach it humbly and honestly and sincerely, my children understand. And you know what? Whenever it's necessary, they forgive me. And it doesn't affect their willingness to trust my word in the future. Now, having said that, let me say this. Beware of making a promise to your child and then forgetting all about it. Or even worse, making a promise to your child and then breaking your word and changing your plans because something else that's more personally expedient or more personally beneficial for you comes up. Now, having said that, I know that many of us here are extremely busy. Many of us have very demanding jobs that require long hours. Many of us are employed in work environments where it's really stressful, where they expect you're to expect the unexpected, because there are always deadlines to meet, or there are planes to catch, or there are emergencies that arise that are absolutely beyond your control, and there's nothing you can do about it. However, never make it easy for yourself to take the old, "Well, I'll make it up to them" sort of escape route when the promises that you've made to your children can't be kept. When you have scheduled something, I'm speaking now primarily to dads and to husbands, when you have scheduled something with your wife and or with your children, then you ought to do everything you possibly can to work your schedule around that commitment. Make your word be worth something to your family. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. Say what you mean. Mean what you say. And I'll tell you why. The failure to keep your word can become, in later years, a source of deep resentment toward you within your child's heart. Now, shifting gears a bit, let me share with you that my wife and I, Kathy and I, have found that one of the best ways of just simply demonstrating concretely to our children that we love them is by taking an interest in the things that they're interested in. if they have a ball game, or if they're doing gymnastics, or playing an instrument, you know, or whatever that might be. You know, maybe your child is a swimmer or a dancer or a singer. Whatever it would be, you want to be sure wherever you can that you not only take an interest, but you're there for them so that you can be an encouragement to them. You know, the Bible does tell us that we are to redeem the time. And as we consider that whole idea of redeeming the time in the context of which we're discussing it this morning, I believe that the Lord would be telling us not to miss out on all these important opportunities that you have to be with your child while they're growing up. For I've learned from experience, I've learned the hard way, that once these opportunities are passed, they're gone. They're never to be seen again. I remember when Tommy graduated, now a year passed, and he was getting ready to go off to college. It shocked me. It took my breath away. It's like getting kicked in the stomach. Oh, I can't believe it. I mean, I the last time I looked, he was 12 years old, and now he's gone. And all of those opportunities that I did not seize, and all of those opportunities that had come my way to redeem, to be with him, to encourage him in one thing or another, I missed those opportunities, never to be had again. And so, parents, listen, don't deceive yourselves. Don't deceive yourselves in thinking that you can somehow catch up on these things later on, because it's going to never happen. Most of you will remember a song, very popular song by Harry Chapin from many years ago. And it probably says it best. And it also says it quite poetically. You'll recognize it immediately. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way. But there were planes to catch and bills to pay. And he learned to walk while I was away. He was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he'd say, "I'm going to be like you, Dad, you know. I'm going to be like you." And the cats in the cradle and the silver spoon and little boy blue and the man in the moon. "When you coming home, Dad?" "I don't know when, but we'll get together then, son. You know, we'll have a good time then." Well, my son turned 10 just the other day. He said, "Thanks for the ball, Dad. Come on, let's play. Can you teach me to throw?" I said, "Not today. I have a lot to do." He said, "That's okay." And as he walked away, his smile never dimmed, and he said, "I'm going to be like him." "Yeah, you know, I'm going to be like him." Well, he came home from college just the other day. "So much like a man, I just had to say, son, I'm proud of you. Can you sit for a while?" He shook his head, and he said with a smile, "What I'd really like, Dad, is to borrow the car keys. See you later. Can I have them, please?" "When you coming home, son?" "I don't know when. But we'll get together then, Dad. You know, we'll have a good time then." I've long since retired. My son's moved away. Called him up just the other day. I said, "I'd like to see you if you don't mind." He said, "I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. But my new job's a hassle. The kids have the flu. But it's sure nice talking to you, Dad. It's sure nice talking to you." And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he's grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. Now, parents, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of an example are we setting? What sort of a trail are we blazing? You know, the chances are that your children are going to grow up to be just like you. No matter what you tell them, they're watching how you live. And undoubtedly, many of them are going to grow up embracing your values. And they're going to be holding fast to your prejudices. And they are going to be just as trustworthy and just as dependable as they've seen you to be. Now, what would you think about that? If your child was going to grow up to be just like you, you know, that's something scary. It's something sobering. And it is certainly something that we should be careful of and prayerful of. Before we move on, there's something else I'd like to share with you. I got this via the internet. Some of you may have seen this. It came to me now maybe 2-3 months ago. I don't know who the author was. It was just out there in cyberspace, held together by cyber glue, I suppose. It's entitled, When You Thought I Wasn't Looking. Listen. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator and I immediately wanted to paint another one. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you feed a stray cat and I learned that it was good to be kind to animals. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me and I learned that little things can be the special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you say a prayer. And I knew that there is a God that I could always talk to, and I learned to trust in Him. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who was sick. And I learned that we have a responsibility to take care of one another. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give of your time and your money to help others who had nothing. And I learned that those who have something to give should always give to those who don't. When you thought I wasn't looking, I felt you kiss me goodnight, and I felt love and safe. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you take care of the house and everyone in it. And I learned that we have to take care of that which we're given. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw the tears come from your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but that it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw that you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be for you. When you thought I wasn't looking, I learned most of life's lessons that I need to know to be a good Christian and to live a fruitful and productive life when I grow up. And it concludes and it says, thanks for all the things that I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. And you know, parents, they're looking. They are looking indeed. And by this time now in our study, after 12 weeks of looking at the whole subject of marriage and family relationships together, particularly over the last 6 weeks or so, as we've looked at specifics in relating to how we should parent our children, I hope that you've come to understand that God truly does care how we as parents live our lives before our children. And that even the very smallest of details are very important to Him. And that's why I see that God is ever dealing with me about those little things in my life. You know, when I'm driving down the road, He convicts me if I'm exceeding the speed limit. And even sometimes I slow down. But He convicts me about obeying the rules and regulation of the road. Or He reminds me about being courteous. Or about being considerate of others and placing the needs of others before my own. And He reminds me that even though these are little things, that these are important things. These are things that the world is watching. But more important, these are things that my children are watching. The other night, we were at a friend's house, our family, with another family for dinner. And I was listening to my son Trevor share with this other family about one of his experiences in Ireland. And then he made a statement how he handled a certain situation in a certain way. And as he did, he just sort of casually motioned across the table to where I was sitting. And he said, well, like my dad has always said. And I realized, oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that what I said was right and not wrong. That what I've taught my children is to really seek to know you and to love you and to serve you and to follow you. And I've not taught them to be prejudiced or to necessarily be cynical. I've told them that they need to be as gentle as doves, but I've also told them, you know what, we live in a hostile world. You need to be as cunning as a serpent. And I was so pleased that he dealt with the situation wisely so that he could really show them the love of Christ. And I know that through all of these things that the Lord is working in my life. And He's working through my life in order to perfect His ultimate goal, which is simply to conform me into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. That I might be a witness and an example. The witness and the example I need to be for my family and for all those who are around me. Well, I think we're just going to wrap it up here this morning. Wrap up the studies that we've looked at together over these past 12 weeks. And as we do, let me just say that I don't believe we've done much more than just really begin to scratch the surface. But I do believe that we have been given much to ponder. We've been given much to pray about. I would be the first to admit to you as a parent that it is a difficult challenge to be raising children at this time. We live in a day and at a time when the ungodly influences are pulling on our families from every side. And there is only one way and one way only in which we can combat it. And that is this. And if you've not heard anything else over these last several weeks, then please hear this. You need to lay a godly foundation in your home. And more importantly than anything else, you personally, and then together as a family unit, you need to pray. Lamentations 2:29 exhorts us, and it says, "Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thy hands toward Him for the life of thy young children." You know, I have seen my wife do this very thing so many times. When she has just been concerned about where one of our children might be, about a decision that perhaps they're getting ready to make, and her concern that they would make the right decision, that they would really make the decision that will enable them to continue to walk in His ways. I've heard her. As she's lifted up her hands and lifted up her heart, I've heard her cry out in the night as she's prayed for our children. And it's blessed me. And I know that God has heard and answered those prayers. But you know what? I know this, that as her husband and as the father of our children, I am the head of our house. And I have learned this, that I must take the initiative. I must be the spiritual leader to my children. I must set the godly example in my home. It's not just that my wife and I need to be confident enough in our walk that we can say to our children, follow us as we follow Christ. But even before that, as a husband and as a dad, I need to be confident enough in my walk of relationship that I can say to my wife, follow me as I follow Christ. Do as I do, say as I say, live as I live, love as I love, study and meditate on the Word as I do, pray as I do, serve as I do, and then to have confidence enough to say, and if you do, the God of peace will be with you. Because you see, if Jesus is not the absolute Lord of my personal life, He'll never be the Lord of my marriage, and He'll never be the Lord of our family. And so the bottom line is this, that we must strive to be the parents that God's called us to be. And we must put the principles of His words to work in our lives and in our households. And I believe with all of my heart that if we do, that our children will follow that example. As we pointed out when we first began these studies all those weeks ago, the best defense is a good offense. And therefore, the best way to defend your family against some of the horrible temptations and some of the godless elements that are out there today is to take to the offensive. And it's to spiritually equip them. And so, let me challenge you this morning that you would remain steadfast in your commitment to walk with God. And that you would continually find yourself consulting His Word as the blueprint for building godly households. And that you would practically apply the truth of His Word by the power and by the enabling of the Holy Spirit at work in your life. Zechariah 4:6, it's not by your own might, neither by your own power or strength or cleverness or creative ability, but it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, upon your life, working through your life, that these things can become a consistent reality. And the result will be that you will be the kind of a man or a woman who, by your own training and by your own example, will be equipping your own children to know, to love, and to serve the Lord with all of their heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so, as we began, look back at Proverbs 3 once again, And let's try to carefully consider these very wise words of King Solomon to his own son. Proverbs 3, verse 1. My son, or my daughter, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days, long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. In other words, make mercy and truth an ornament around your neck, like a necklace or a medallion of sorts that would cause people to look upon it. Let it be mercy and truth that would be like an ornament around your neck. Write these things upon the table of your heart. For so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Notice verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him. And notice the promise. He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It will be health to your navel, life and strength to your bones. Now again, Proverbs 6 and verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment. Forsake not the law or the instruction of thy mother. Notice again, bind them continually upon thine heart. In other words, don't just cram them in your head, but bind them upon your heart. The psalmist says, Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Bind them continually upon thine heart. Tie them about thy neck. Again, as a medallion of sorts. When thou goest, it, the law, shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. When thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Remember, parents, all chastisement for the moment seemeth not to be joyous, but grievous. Yet afterwards, to those who've been trained thereby, it brings forth or it produces in them the peaceable fruit of righteousness. I can't think of any better advice for parents today than to pass this sort of a spiritual legacy on to their children. When we first began, you remember we considered the words of King David to his son Solomon from 1 Chronicles 28:9. You needn't turn there, just listen again. And thou, Solomon, my son, know the God of thy father. And don't you know, dads, today your children are going to know the God of their father. But who will that God be? Know the God of thy father, and serve Him with a perfect and loyal heart, and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts, and He understands all the intents of our thoughts. If you seek Him, He will be found of you. May God help each and every one of us as parents to know Him in a deep and personal and in an intimate way, so that we in turn might pass that knowledge on to our children. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank You for the time we've been able to spend in Your Word this morning. And Lord, thank You for the time we've had over the last several weeks and now even months together as we've studied the Scripture and we've considered what it is that You have to say to husbands, to wives, to parents, to children, about living for Your glory in these dark and dying days. Lord, we've heard a lot, and we pray that these things would not be merely informational. It's things good to know. But we pray that these principles and these precepts and these statutes would be the very things that would grip our hearts and direct our steps and control our ways, so that we would be men, women, and children who would know, love, and serve You with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we would be as light into the darkness around us. That our families would be like those cities set upon a hill that couldn't be hidden. Lord, we would pray that as salt, that people would begin to thirst to know the peace and to know the joy and to experience the hope and the blessed assurance that we have in our households in knowing Jesus Christ as Savior and in honoring and following Him as Lord and Master. Lord, that's what You've called us to do. You've called us to just simply live for Your glory, to sanctify the Lord in our hearts and to be ready always to give unto every man that asks a reason for the hope that lies within us. Lord, You've suggested to us that if we'll simply live lives that are set apart and consecrated for Your holy purposes, that You will bring others to inquire what it is that makes our lives so different, so that we can point to You, so that the glory would be Yours, both now and forever. Amen. Let's all stand.